What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning into another episode of the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. We are coming at you from the chair city of Gardner. And when I say we, it is not just me. It is also my friend, Chris.
Hi. I do things.
How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good one?
Yeah, I did have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you. Full of turkey and stuffing and potatoes. I went to my dad's. It was really nice. How was yours?
I took a road trip. I was in a truck for 24 hours going to New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah. It was good.
Jeez. So that was a straight shot drive?
Straight shot drive. Yep. 24 hours straight. So my Thanksgiving consisted of some brisket from Bucky's.
What?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, duh. I mean, does a bear shit in the woods?
I don't know. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one around, does it make a sound?
More important question. If a tree falls on the bear, does the bear still have time to shit?
Or did it shit itself?
It might have. Yeah. We're solving mysteries here on Musical Chairs of Massachusetts.
That's the real life's important question.
That's right. Seriously. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. So, yeah. Okay, so you drove from New Jersey to where?
To Louisiana.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 24 hours straight. We did New Jersey through Pennsylvania, through West Virginia, which that state is, I feel like we spent way too much time driving through that state. And it was crazy. And then from there, all through Tennessee, down to Georgia, Alabama,
wow,
Mississippi, and Louisiana.
I have to ask, when you were in West Virginia, at any point, did you sing or play Country Roads?
I sure did. And actually, I have a picture of a sign that says, "Welcome to West Virginia."
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it says, "Country Roads, take me home."
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I started singing the song, and my friend's like, because he's very uncultured.
Yeah.
Goes, "Is that a country song?" I'm like,
"Oh my God, child, get out of this vehicle."
And he's like, "This will be the first and only country song to be in this truck for this ride." But yes, for the folks listening in audio land here, I have a sign that says, "Welcome to West Virginia," a photo of it. Wild and wonderful. And I put a little caption, "Country roads, take me home." So,
"Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home.
Country roads."
Yep. And, so guys, you can get tickets to that show.
They also, so when I was at Bucky's too, which if you haven't been to a Bucky's, you all need to get yourself to a Bucky's. Like, first of all, you walk in and it's huge. It's huge.
Huge, absolutely.
There's about
tremendous
75 gas pumps.
Oh boy.
Yeah, they stretch for as far as the eye can see. And you walk inside and the whole store just smells like baked goods.
Ooh.
it's pretty great. But they have like a whole section. You can get alcohol and all that. And I found this one drink there and it's just called Have a Day.
Oh, no, I love it.
Because I literally tell people all the time, have a day.
Have a day.
Have a night. Who am I to determine if you're having a good one or not? So just have a day.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a drink there called Have a Day.
Oh,
they're like
it.
Some tequila drink. But I didn't get it. They had some really great barbecue. So like I said, I had brisket on Thanksgiving and it was like some legit brisket.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
You know, this woman has had the finest foods that this country has offered. She's been to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant, not once. A couple times.
A few times. Multiple Gordon Ramsay restaurants, actually.
Yeah. And You didn't just, you know, try the hamburger.
I did at Gordon Ramsay Burger.
Oh, actually, you did actually have a hamburger. but you tried the main course, which was the
beef Wellington. But I also have had the lobster risotto. Yeah, I've had pretty much everything from Hell's Kitchen. Well, three times.
the only thing I can kind of like, you know, hang over your head is that I've had chicken wings, buffalo wings, from both the most famous places in Buffalo, from Anchor Bar and from Duff's.
Well, I've had chicken tenders at the birthplace of the chicken tender, the Puritan Backroom in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Pew, 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 pew.
Okay.
Put that straw in your juice box and suck it.
We're going to go down this battle road. Okay. So I have had the finest slices of, get ready for this, the finest slices of pizza from the Winchendon Cumberland Farms.
You got me beat, man.
Damn it. Yeah. Take that.
I do have to say, though, like, it's so weird. People actually go to like gas stations to eat, and like the food is actually really good.
Yeah.
Bucky's, you would never think like, oh, I'm going to go grab gas station food. No, the gas station food was actually bomb. Like, I don't know, up here, I think of gas station food and I think of, like you said, the slice of pizza at the Cumbies or the hot dog that's been on the roller for the last like 15 hours. Like, that's gas station food up here in the north.
Yeah.
But like when you get down south and like, oh, we're going to stop at the gas station and get lunch. Like, you can get like legit lunch there. Like, there was another place we stopped at, Sheets, and their food was awesome too. Like, there was actual legit food, not, you know, roller hot dogs. It was awesome.
And you know what else you get down south? Some good old countryfied music.
Mm-hmm.
And
about to experience that in about a week.
Right. Yeah. I am really excited for this guest. You know, the fact that we're finding so many countryfied musicians up here north with the Yankees is incredible. Like, and these guys are great. Like, mm-hmm. You know, just amazing. We are thrilled to have found, or for this guest to have found us, and for us to found him. He's been around for a while, doing his thing, and, you know, I'm just so, so excited for you guys to hear this kid's voice.
Like, it's going to shock you a little bit to hear him talk and to hear him sing. It's night and day.
It's a treat, though.
It's night and day, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It works, and I love it.
Yeah, I am definitely all in. So, guys, again, thank you for tuning in on this other episode, and you're in for a treat. And it's going to be a journey, just like the one you took there, Nikki.
Yeah, buckle up.
Buckle up, because, Nikki, why don't you go ahead and let the audience know what kind of commercial they're going to get.
If they get a commercial.
Because we still got to do commercials. But then after the commercial, let's let the people know a little bit about our guest.
Today's guest is Eric Troy, published poet, writer, and singer-songwriter, whose self-titled debut album blends deep vocals, sharp storytelling, and a classic Americana edge. His work carries the honesty of a seasoned writer and the grit of someone who's lived a few different lives along the way. Eric went from warehouse worker to copywriter, correspondent, and published poet before circling back to music during the pandemic. The loss of John Prine and the discovery of artists like Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt pushed him into a new creative era, shaping the voice he brings to his songs today. On stage, Eric is supported by the Good Intentions. Together, they bring a warm, authentic presence to each performance, carrying the spirit of community, craft, and connection. Welcome to our studio, Eric.
Oh, woo! Yeah. I'm sorry. That was awesome. That was really, really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, great job, Nikki. Eric, thanks for coming down to the studio. I ran into you, I believe it was Jake's album release.
Jake Goldstein's album release.
Yes.
It was he did great. I was really, really impressed with the album. I thought it sounded awesome.
Oh, I know. I love, and what a great venue that was. Just
the Bull Run.
The Bull Run, right?
Yeah, the Bull Run in Shirley, Mass.
Yeah.
That was really a cool spot. It has that rustic feel. Like, feels like it hasn't changed, but not in a bad way. It feels like it hasn't changed since, like, I don't know, a couple hundred years type old. Yeah, but, except there's electric lights instead of candles, maybe. But but they're electric candles.
And I love any place that has a dedicated stage, you know, in their dining hall there. So definitely really enjoyed that. But it was great, you know, getting to briefly meet you there. And now we're here. So thank you.
No, I'm stoked to be here with both of you guys. It's awesome what you guys do for the community and your shows. It's great.
Yeah, I appreciate
happy
it.
Happy to be here.
So we'll go ahead and we'll start from the beginning. So music. Now, is that something that's been in a part of your life your entire life, or is that something that is developed over the years? At what point did music become a thing for you?
I mean, I've always loved music. Shortly after I graduated high school, so a while ago now, I started getting into wanting to play music. So, but I grew up, one of my early memories is of when I was a kid in the backseat of the car, my mom singing, and my mom has such a fantastic singing voice. And she's actually in two separate bands. One's the Salty Sister Project, and one's Tipton Rock Band.
Oh, nice.
She's a vocalist now, but when I had started playing, my mom wasn't actively playing music, which I was like, man, mom's got such a great voice. I would love for her to do something with that. Now that I'm a parent, I kind of understand that it's hard to balance and manage those things. But now she's like, she's absolutely killing it. So that's kind of how I started, because I had an interest and I wanted to pursue it, you know. But my mom was an inspiration in that sense that she's a, you know, very, very, very talented singer. So now guitar player and pianist. She, you know, my mom does a lot of different music stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, it shows, because we've done a sound check, so I already know how he sounds. but seriously, and then I've done my research, so I heard some of your music prior to this. So really terrific stuff, man. I can't wait for you guys to hear him. But let's give Nikki a shot to ask a question. Nikki, you have a question?
So what was the first song that you learned how to play?
I think the first song I ever learned how to play was Redemption Song. Ooh, Bob Marley.
Yes.
Ooh, great had that choice. Bong,
bong, bong, yeah.
Bong. I love that tune. I haven't played it in a very long time. If you asked me to play it now, I don't think I could, you know. Maybe with a little bit of work I could, but I haven't. That's the first song that I remember ever learning how to play is Redemption Song. It's a great, great song.
Wow. You know what? Now I'm kind of inspired because, you know, we talked off camera how I'm starting to learn, you know, guitar and all that. Now I think I want to look that one up.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Redemption Song is great. It's got so much, anything Bob Marley has so much spirit in it already.
Have you seen his documentary?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
Yeah?
It's phenomenal.
I'll check it out. Yeah. Now, where's that, on HBO Max?
Actually, I think it might be.
Really?
Yeah.
I love how everything is on HBO Max. People, I'm hooked on a Welcome to Derry right now, and it's like, it's so good.
Well, yeah, and now you've got me like totally like, I want to watch it, man. But yeah, hopefully I'll be able to. We'll see.
I sent you. Oh, no, I didn't. I did not share my login with you. It's HBO Max. You didn't hear that.
sharing is not caring in that sense.
Yes. No, I think the documentary, it's either on that or it's just Prime Video.
The other one I have to check out that I haven't watched yet either is the Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that, but that I really should watch.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's that other one, the Bruce Springsteen one.
Which I haven't. Actually, I had a friend of mine went out and saw that with his mother, and he said it was really you know, enjoyable. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm not. There's only one Bruce Springsteen song that I really am like super into. It's Racing in the Streets.
Mm-hmm.
I love Racing in the Streets. It's such a good song, but I like it because it's on a Townes Van Zandt album where he ends up covering it, and then I'm like, this is really good, you know? Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know. I really enjoy that tune.
Yeah. I actually got to see him over the summer. I was at the Zach Bryan concert at MetLife Stadium, and he brought out Bruce Springsteen. I was like, holy shit, this was not on my bingo card.
Wow.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to be able to say that I got to see him live is
a great surprise, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Definitely.
Yeah. I know. Like, where was that at? Was that
MetLife Stadium in New Jersey?
Yeah, you just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been there, I don't think, that particular stadium.
Yeah.
But that must have been a cool venue. So Now, when you went ahead and really started, you know, exploring your musical abilities, was it like, did you get right on and develop that voice right away, or was it something that you kind of had to work on?
Well, no, I mean, any type of singing, I think, is going to take time to grow. And as you experiment with different vocal techniques and styles, and you're going to discover different things that, yeah, that work a different way. And the low singing, the lower register voice, I didn't start doing that until a couple of years ago. So I've been playing since I was like 18. I'm 33 now. And I just started getting into that lower register recently. And I like the sound of it, and it seems effective. A lot of people tend to tell me they enjoy it. And so I'm like, all right, well, let me keep. But it fit in with that older Americana style stuff that I enjoy. So I would say it was influenced by a discovery of new to me, but old music.
Right. Yeah. Puts like an older spin on it, which is it's crazy because, like, you know, talking to you and hearing you talk and then you start to sing and I'm like, whoa, was not expecting that.
Yeah.
But definitely for the best, of course. Yeah.
It definitely took me by surprise, too. In a very good way.
Yeah.
Like, in a very, very good way. And guys, you were like, just wait. But it's cool. It's really cool. And I love your inspirations, too, your musical inspirations, because we find that our guests who, you know, let us know about their musical inspirations, it influences their sound and their playability. So what are some of your musical inspirations?
Big three right off the rip. One is John Prine. He's a phenomenal, I mean, as far as songwriters go, this guy's like the holy grail of songwriters, I think. John Prine's incredible. Yeah. He's written some great tunes. But when he had passed away in 2020, I was in this John Prine group of people who were like, no, John Prine! You know, we're all like sad. And there's people posting covers and stuff. It was fantastic to see the community kind of rally around that. But then I saw someone drop in the comments of one of these posts. They're like, yep, John Prine, Towns Van Zandt. I'm like, how do I know who Townsend? I knew like two songs from those guys, one each respectively, but I never got into their discography. I never really got into them. And then I started and I'm like, how did I know? I felt like I was missing out my whole life by not having known these guys, you know? And so like the song Poncho and Lefty that Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson made, I didn't know, but Towns Van Zandt had written that at the time. I didn't know that. Now I know, and I know a lot of Towns' material, but at that point I was blown away. And I always admire the writers of material, the people who are creating something that then is, they're not even necessarily the ones that are making it a hit, right? Like Angel from Montgomery, I think was Bonnie Raitt that made that song really big.
Oh yeah.
I think. So I very much admire the writers of material.
Well, that's cool. It definitely comes through your play, your songwriting, your vocals, your just the overall, what's the word I'm looking for? Aesthetics. Aesthetics is usually associated with looks. But anyways, the overall feel of your music. It's I can see that.
And it's also crazy just the rabbit holes that you can go down for, like, discovering. Once you start, you find, you know, that genre, that subgenre, you know, and then, like, the artists that you start discovering as you go through, you know, like, that's why I love, like, Pandora. I'll just stick it on, like, Sam Barber Radio or, you know what I mean? And then just all the new artists or artists I'd never heard of before that's just associated with that. I start going down those rabbit holes.
Just to see what comes up, and then all of a sudden you've discovered your new favorite artist.
Yeah.
Like,
how did I not know about this before? I agree. Discovery of new music is fantastic. I tend to get stuck, though. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to some other stuff or some new. Like, I actually go and listen to some, like, super heavy metal, too, occasionally.
Oh, nice.
Get into that, and it's very fun. But I tend to be in, like, I'm like, oh. I get, like, hyper-focused on certain things once you discover it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't.
Same. I have a playlist currently. And the whole reason why I created it is because we had a friend of the show, Chris Shelby, on. And we were talking, and he was telling me he went fishing once. And he changed the music from country to reggae. He's like, fish love reggae music. And my boss is a wicked fisherman. And he goes out, like, salmon fishing and all that stuff. And I was telling him. He's like, no way. I'm like, I love reggae music. I'll make you a whole playlist. So it's Cod Marley and the Jam and Salmon.
Oh, that's great.
And it's all reggae. And
I honestly probably listen to that every single day now, and I'm like fixated on that.
Did your boss ever use the playlist when he was out fishing to verify the fact that fish love reggae music? So was it verified? Did it work from...
He loved it, yeah.
He caught more fish when he listened to... Okay, so if you're a fisherman, listen to reggae music. You'll be ripping it up.
Thank you for the hot take, Chris Shelby.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about, where you start to just hone in and fixate on like, yeah, that one thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I get that way too. I love all music, but I'm right now fixated on Radiohead. Like Radiohead has recaptured me, and I've been listening to a particular song, "Let Down," and
great song,
right? Like, but there's a couple different versions. There's like a chorusy version that is like, oh, this is like my playground. And then there's another artist, I should have pulled her name up, but she did a cover for it, like a slowed down, more melodical version of it. Ooh. That's also dreamy, kind of like almost EMD-ish. And it's stuff that you would hear on like movie trailers or,
Yeah.
So I get it, but I'm that way. I listen to it like a thousand times. I have to like ruin it. Before I can move on.
Seal earworm.
Keep going.
Yeah. But speaking of which, let's go ahead and kill the suspense. do you have a song for us?
Yeah, I'd love to play a newer song that I've written. It's called Lady on the Moon. Ooh. I can tell you about it a little after if you'd like.
That'd be great.
About dreamy.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That song put me over the moon.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. I like it. Thank you. I know. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So Yeah. Where do you find your inspiration to write your songs?
That particular song was kind of like a, there was numerous things that were going on. Yeah. And one of them was that my friend Ben Bullock, who's also a musician, he played at my album release show on March 29th. And when he did, he ended up saying something along the lines of, well, if you know Eric Troy, you know when he's working on a new song, he'll do, but like, unlike Eric Troy, I keep it under the, you know, he's like keeps it under his hat until he plays. So I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, everyone knows when I'm working on a new song. So I didn't tell anybody I was working on that song at all until I went to play a show with Ben. We were playing the same show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I've written a new song and I'd like to dedicate it to my friend Ben Bullock. And then I played that. The written inspiration for it, though, came. I was out in Lancaster actually delivering packages because mail carrier for one of my jobs.
And yeah.
I'm delivering packages out there, and it's like 100 degrees. It's super hot out. Yeah. And there's this long-haired dude. He's got pajama pants on and a T-shirt, and he's got no shoes, walking on the blacktop on the asphalt.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, oh, dude, that's brutal. And it wasn't, at first, it wasn't barefoot on the blacktop, but it was something along those lines. I'm like, that's significant. Oh, why? You know, that sounds very...
Might as well be walking on Legos.
Like, dude, like walking on lava, man. Like, it was horrible. Yeah. But then I'm like, barefoot on the blacktop. And then it just kind of... The story itself was discovered as the writing continued to unfold. So it's like, but that was the first line, the barefoot on the blacktop. And the rest kind of fell out from there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, and how did you get Lady on the Moon?
Lady on the Moon is, I actually really like this. There's a double entendre with that Lady on the Moon statement. So in a literary sense, I think of it as there's this character who's walking down the road. And in my mind, it wasn't a guy in his pajama pants. When I saw it, it was a musician, a troubadour. He's walking from one show to the next. He's broke. He's got nothing. He lost his shoes somehow, but he's got to get to the next place. So he's got $5 in his pocket. And he's just thinking of, like, he's going to meet his lady there. It's this walking in the heat through these struggles and frustrations. It's the thought of the comfort of companionship with a woman that helps him walk through and withstand these challenges and obstacles in his way. The Lady on the Moon, though, has a more direct inspiration. So that's the one meaning of the Lady on the Moon, a woman who's just out of reach, that comfort that's on the horizon that you haven't reached yet. But the other one is Miller High Life, the beer, has a logo with the woman who's got the witch hat and she's sitting on a moon.
Yeah.
So it's this beautiful like love song about a deep concept of the idea of something will get you through the struggles that you're going through right now. On a more immediate level, it's a song about him like, damn, I just want a beer. I'm out of here walking down the road. So it's like, it's kind of a cool little double meaning with Lady on the Moon. It's talking about, well, I would like a beer, but I would also have that.
Right.
That
beer will also help you, you know, through your struggles right now, the self-medication, you know.
I just thought it was kind of a cool double concept because it works in both ways. It's like, well, when you're walking down the road in 100 degree heat, a beer does sound pretty. Now, light, you know, a light beer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That sounds good. And then also going through the struggles and challenges, the companionship of a partner can really help you feel more comforted.
Yeah, right, you're not facing it alone.
Yep. Sorry, it took like as long to explain that as the song took.
No.
No,
I'm glad you did, honestly, because I like how you got deep with that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's what the podcast is about.
I know. It's like we go behind the music or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So now you've done a few gigs, a few performances out there. Do you have any crazy encounters or any crazy things that you want to tell the audience?
No, nothing really like that I want to tell the audience.
In particular. Hey, that's... We respect that.
Like, honestly, one of the greatest experiences, though, that comes to my mind. Not like a crazy, wacky, weird, story, but like
that. Nobody got stabbed or nobody drank beer out of a prosthetic leg or anything like that.
There was no Teletubbies.
There was no Teletubbies.
No Teletubbies or prosthetic appendages of any sort, for that matter. But just this overwhelming emotional charge at that album release show was so fantastic. Like I looked out and this place is packed, man. And Workshop 13 that's where the show was. And it's just old church. with a stage that's been renovated, and there's stained glass in the windows, packed house, man. Like it was such a surreal experience that that's currently my most touching and sentimental and significant memory of music. I wish I had like a quippy, fun, like little weird story for you about something, but that's what comes to my mind right now, you know?
Hey, that's cool too, because like, it's not, it could be crazy, but just the fact that you're on this musical journey can be crazy. And the fact that you got to experience that. And sometimes the venue too. Venues can be really special. And then the people that are there, and then when you can connect with the audience, like all those things kind of give you a really cool experience.
Yeah. And speaking of venues, is there a dream venue if you could play anywhere in the world? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah. In one spot that I think would be super cool to play is Red Rocks.
That is the crowd favorite.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's like, okay, then I'll come up with a different one. So I like that idea just because I love the mountains and I've never been to Colorado, but I have a song called Colorado, and it's an aspirational place that's like, man, I want to go there and be surrounded by that. So to play there would be incredible. I'd also love to play in some like grungy, crusty little like bar in like, I don't know, in like somewhere in Ireland or something. That'd be fun. I think that'd be really cool. Like with like a half dozen people or maybe 15 people in the audience or something. Like, yeah, and I know it's like,
I dream of
this amazing, huge thing. It's like, well, you know, I think it'd be cool to have like just something like that would be really fun. Yeah. You know,
I just want a small intimate thing in a little local watering hole.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just like the regulars that go there, but I'm like the out of town guy and they don't have any idea who I am. And maybe it gets real quiet. Like, oh, this guy sounds pretty good. You know, it'd be fun. You know,
you should talk to Seth Newton. He literally had that experience.
That's an amazing story.
So, I think I probably already know the answer to this one, but, living or dead, if you could collaborate with anybody, boom, boom, I think boom. It goes without saying.
Does it? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Towns probably. I would love to do something with him, but he wasn't known for like co-writing with people. To write with John Prine would be an incredible thing.
That's what I was
thinking.
I mean,
it would just be amazing. Even just that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be the one.
Well, while here at the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, this whole room is the manifestation station. Where things come true. So,
John Prine's probably not going to come true. I think that ship sailed.
No, maybe he'll visit me in a dream or something.
Ooh,
you
maybe.
Know? I mean, maybe we think outside the box and outside of the confines.
Yeah, yeah, and then you wake up and it's like, oh, I got to write this down. Like, you
would
know,
amazing.
This song
Wouldn't
came to me
crazy?
In a dream. Yeah, that would be incredible.
You maybe. Never know.
Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. Yeah. Now we're manifesting it, though.
Yeah,
if it does, I'll give you a follow-up, though. And then you guys can, like, well, as a matter of fact, Eric actually did have a dream with John Prine, and he wrote a song about it. And like, what? Oh, that's kind of cool, you know?
And then John liked it on social media.
that's funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
and then it gets extra spooky.
Yeah, right. cool. So, let's move on. Actually, before we go to the next, you know what? Okay. We'll do another song. I think we'll do another song. But right before we do another song, I think this is a great time to go ahead and take a break for our, maybe we'll have an ad. Maybe we won't have an ad. I don't know. You'll have to stick around and find out. If you're watching on the YouTube, it'll be like 5 seconds, so it won't take that long. But if you're listening, good luck.
All right. Well, maybe we had an ad. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. Maybe you heard something for Viagra. Maybe you heard something for
Boing.
Maybe you heard something for Chiquita Bananas. Who really knows? So, yeah, do you have another song for us?
Yeah. I have a song. It's called Chiquita Bananas on Viagra. No, I just don't know.
What are the odds?
Can you believe it? No. Wow. I'll play it. This next song I'm going to play is called Conscience. It is off of the album. So check it out.
Mm-hmm. live for the blood. What has been done or can't be undone, and you can't outrun your conscience. Dollars and pills, you can live for the drink. You'll pay the bill. What has been done or can't be undone, and you can't outrun your conscience. Conscience.
Picture that song like on like Yellowstone or like American Grit or something like that.
It's got that dudes on horses with guns in their holsters. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't outrun a tortoise uphill. I just, you know, sorry, running's not in my family.
You know, you can't outrun your conscience reminds me of something that somebody told me once where you can run away from your problems, but you can't run away from yourself.
No. Ooh. Well, and that's part of this. Yeah. It's a similar message. You know, exactly. It's like you can't, no matter how fast you are, you can't outrun your conscience. It's the one thing that you can't outrun.
Right.
You know, and you're going to have to deal. I think you have to face your conscience because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody at some point in their lives has done something that they're not proud of or that they don't enjoy. But by running away from it or ignoring it, and sometimes people make the same mistakes and continue to do it, even though they know it's the wrong thing to do. It's like, instead of facing that, hey, maybe taking the accountability to observe that you need to see the problem before you can change it. You know, you can't outrun your conscience is the main line. And I think it's true.
And I love that. You know, I've definitely been in that boat. You know, I know I shouldn't get the Big Mac, but I just keep... But I just keep doing it. It's so delicious.
But I love it.
But no, that's cool. I love too how, you know, your songs are just so well thought out. There's just so much more to it than just on the surface level that you've really, you know, pulled a lot of different aspects of your personal journey and put them into your lyrics. That's
they have
really cool.
Depth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think some of that I admire too is a Hemingway technique, which is called the iceberg theory. And it's not always present in like every song, but it's something that you try to write is like the body of your story is not what's written. The body of your story is not what's there.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's a lot more in whatever your creative work is because there is more, but you're only leading off with what's above the surface, which is what people will hear or read or so forth.
It's a little bit wild that you went there because that is exactly the same sentiment that our previous guest had spoken about.
Really?
Yeah, his album is actually called The Iceberg.
Really?
Yeah, and he went to Greenland and went and saw
the iceberg.
This was
Dan Cloutier.
Dan Cloutier, yeah.
Yeah. That was the whole inspiration for his album.
What, The Iceberg Theory?
Yeah.
Hemingway's Iceberg Theory?
Or just the iceberg in general and the whole,
That's really interesting.
Surface.
Yeah. So it's really cool. You're also catching that as well. And But you're right. I mean, like, there's...
Y'all are onto something.
You're all onto something, right? but there's just, yeah, you're just scratching the surface, but there's so much more. You know, that's you don't see, but that's there. I want to ask, too, now, this album that you came out with, just want to reiterate, what's the name of the album again?
It's a... self-titled, so it's called Eric Troy, just on my debut. And John Prine had done the same, and Towns had an album that was self-titled. So I'm like, you know, what am I going to name this song or this collection of tunes or whatever? And I was like, you know what, I'll go with the self-titled, and then keep going from there. You know,
nice.
It's just so my
Eric
name
Troy.
Eric Troy,
yep, because they're mine, right?
Eric Troy, yeah, they're mine.
So that's great because easy to find. But I wanted to ask, how long did it take for you to develop that album?
That one was like 2 years.
Okay.
It took probably about 2 years to develop the songs that were on that album. But then it was like, it was actually really cool how it all came together, because I was doing a songwriting contest and I was one of the winners in that. So I won recording time. So there's like almost two different styles on two different style recordings. There's some that are just an acoustic and vocal that play.
Yeah.
And those were done with Mark Thayer at Signature, or of Signature Sounds Studios, and other ones were with my friend Andrew Quinn. So I had recorded some with Mark and some with Andrew, and
cool.
It just, but I didn't think about it like in the whole album. So it was like, I want to do an album, but I'm gonna go one at a time, one song at a time, one step at a time.
Yeah,
and instead of like getting paralyzed by a large task, which is, I'm going to create an album. It's like, whoa, geez, well, that's a lot of stuff. It's like, well, I'm going to create a song. Now I'm going to record a song. And you just keep, I'm always making something. So it's not like, you know what I mean? But instead of thinking of the overall, I just let each step guide you to that larger goal.
Yeah.
Basically.
That analysis paralysis is a real thing. Like, I've been the victim a few times.
Yeah.
But that's great. I like your approach at how you conquer that. But then not only that, but, keep that progress flow going when creating a new album. That's awesome.
Well, it's just the step, one step at a time. The journey of a thousand steps starts with the first or whatever. And the Tao Te Ching got into my sphere last year, and I found that extremely helpful, because I'm an overthinker, man, and I'm fast and always moving in next, but it tells you to just, you can do it one, you have your vision, you have your overall goal, and then just keep walking that. You don't have to sprint to everything you do in your life, like, you know.
I say it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm more of a sprint runner by nature, so I'm like, all right, well, I gotta slow down sometimes and not overthink and be able to get out of my own way to make progress.
Yeah, I love that. Nikki, you got a question?
Yeah, is there a moment that you feel like you made an impact on someone through your music?
Yeah, the one particular moment that comes to mind, I was playing at my friend Dave Martell has this music festival, and Chris Shelby, you mentioned him earlier, he plays there some years. It's the Harmony Farm Music Festival. It happens every year, and I wrote this song for my daughter called Eleonora's Song. She was just a tiny little baby. She was only 6 or 7 months when I wrote the tune. But I ended up playing that song at that music festival. And afterward, Dave was like, hey, Eric, this is, you know, my friend. He wants to talk to you quick. And so he goes and introduces me. And he said, you know, that song was like, is that, and it wasn't recorded at that time yet. It was just, I went out and played it. And is that recorded anywhere? Like, it says all of the things that I want to say to my daughter, but don't know how to say.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's almost, it was so powerful and beautiful for me, because I've put a lot of effort and time into finding words, and these are all, that's how I felt about mine, so that it transcended beyond me, and it becomes this feeling that a father has for their daughter, and I could do that and have someone realize it, and that mentally, it was just one person, you know, but it made all the difference in the world to me. I thought that was amazing. He actually ended up sending it to his daughter. I gave him just like a demo track, and he sent it to her and stuff, so that was really special.
Are we able to hear that?
I was just gonna ask that. Yeah.
I got like the chills just now. That's beautiful.
I'm an emotional person, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think a lot of artists are, it's just how it is. But so the song's called Eleonora's Song.
Eleonora, my dear, Daddy's right here. I'll always be by your side. When the going gets rough, know you're strong enough to overcome all of your fears. There's a light inside you, shines like the stars, and I'll be right with you no matter how far. When you think of me, I'll be a warm glow inside your heart. Shine like the star that you are. Shine like the star that you are. There's a light inside you, shines like the stars. Just shine like the star that you are. Things won't always make sense. They don't always go like we planned in our heads. Going gets rough, know you're strong enough to laugh away all of your tears. And shine like the star that you are. Shine like the star that you are. Light inside you shines like the stars. Just shine like the star that you are. Just shine like the star that you are.
Wow. If there's a dry eye out there, you're not human. That is...
I don't even have a daughter, and I felt that.
Yeah. By the way, Abigail, Papa loves you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. That's great, man.
You should really send that song to her afterwards. Oh, I know. And let her know that you're thinking of her.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I almost want to send that to my nieces.
Thank you. I'm glad that you...
Like I said, I don't have a daughter, but I got lots of nieces, and I'm always trying to be their cheerleaders, and yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah. What a beautiful tribute. And just, yeah.
I wrote it before. I have my son, too, and I wrote it before he was born, but it's called Eleonora's Song, but it's really just how you feel about your kids, you know what I mean? And, I want them to be able to listen to that someday, and if things get hard or challenging or they're not going the way that you think that they... You know what I mean? That they should be or whatever, that they have that support. That's how I imagined it, when I wrote the song, was just something to lean on or bolster them if they were having a hard time. Because I think everybody knows it's like, hey, life doesn't always go the way you planned, man.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. You just have to deal with it and overcome it. But leaning on it, you have the strength to overcome your fear. You know, you have the strength to laugh when you're... You feel like you want to cry. That type of sentiment, I think, is very important to have in life. So,
and honestly, that message, because it is song form. It's recorded. It's there forever. It's like, someday we'll all be gone, but that's gonna live on. She'll always have that message.
Yeah, and what a beautiful gift to give your children. Like, I'm just giving my daughter some Lego sets. So
that's cool though, man. Legos are great.
Legos are awesome. But that they're gonna appreciate that so much.
Yeah, that'll live on forever.
Yeah.
I gotta write. It's on my list of things to. It's like write a song called Theodore's Song too, because my daughter's name is Eleonora, my son's name is Theodore.
Oh, nice.
And I had started on writing something, but it'll. I will end up writing a song, but it's gonna be a different song for my son.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a daughter and you have a son, and I want that to bolster both of them. But, like, you have different – there's just, different, I guess, different things that you maybe focus on or think about when you have different kids, because every person is different. So it's like that's how it's going to be. But, yeah, that's on my list eventually, is to write one for my son, too. But.
I love their names, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those are great names.
Yeah, Eleonora and Theodore. Eleonora, I'm a big fan
of – you don't hear that very often. That's beautiful.
No, I liked Eleonora, just – like,
yeah, Eleanor.
And Kara, my partner, has her last name, or her name is Kara with an A-H. And so she's like, well, let's make it like mine. We'll have Eleonora is with an A-H. And I hadn't ever heard that. But it was honestly, for all the like names and the writing and the lines and the stuff that I come up with, naming kids was like the hardest thing in the world, because you're like, I am going to name this human and they're going to have this name presumably for the rest of their life. Like, no pressure, man. It's not like you're writing a short story or like a song or something. You're like, this is a human, man. It's just crazy. Like, I don't know. That was the craziest.
They have to go through life with this thing, like with this name. Let's not like set them up for something.
Yeah, I love the Roosevelt. I love Theodore Roosevelt. It's like my favorite president, man. Yeah. He just had so much gumption, just gung-ho. Yeah. Like, let's get after it. We'll get it done. Come on. You know, and he just went for it. And I love that about him, is that it's like, get action was a saying from him that's big. It's like, you got to get out there and get to doing stuff, you know. And So Eleonora and Theodore.
No, I love that. I absolutely adore that. So you know, has becoming a parent shifted how you approach music? It sounds like it has, but
well, maybe like the subject matter that I'm inspired, because I think that like something that I learned early on was that like people are like, oh well, I haven't been inspired to write anything lately.
Yeah,
it's like, well, like when you go to work, do you have to feel inspired to do your job, or do you just figure it out and do it? You know what I mean? And like, I think there's a I'm not saying you have to force things, but also like if you're going to write, you should just, you make it a discipline. Try to continue to do it regardless of whether you have that or you don't. Right. But like, has it changed? I say the subject matter because I find inspiration in daily occurrences and events. You have to be, if you want to be inspired, you have to look for things that are going to be inspiring. Similar, I think, to a mindset, right? Like you can, if you are going to be grumpy and look for things to be grumpy about, you'll always find something to be grumpy about.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you want to be happy or maybe improve your mental state, it's like, well then look for things that make you
look for the
happy.
Good.
You gotta tune yourself into what you're looking for, you know?
Right.
So
look,
I don't
look
think
for the good in things.
Yeah.
For the positive
in general
things.
Or whatever you want. I mean, if you want to feel like crap, then go ahead. You can look for, you'll find things, you know, but
it's funny too. Cause like you're absolutely right. Like it's shifted my perspective on things. The things I used to focus on and just worry about or you know, obsess over, just really doesn't matter. And then we also shape our own happiness, you know, through our mindset. And so, you know, we all have control, guys. So if you want to be happy, just think happy thoughts.
Well, just try. You have to actively try, because I've been depressed too. And it's like, if you've ever had like rumination, you've been stuck in your, I get stuck in my head, man. That's true.
Yeah.
And
100%.
It's not like you're going to instantly feel better. Like if you're depressed and you're like, oh, well, it's so easy, I'm just going to be happy. It's like, well, it doesn't work that way. But it's, you're not likely going to improve if you just stay on the track you're on. So to make that active, conscious effort of saying like, look for one thing and then go back to feeling the way you're feeling. You know what I mean? You can, nobody, and it's important. I think we have feelings for a reason. I don't think that we're ruled by emotion or feeling.
And you're allowed to have that.
But you should. Like, and this is why, if it's the same thing as conscience. If you run away from a feeling, you're not going to, it's not, what is it going to do? Is it going to go anywhere? Or are you just going to bury it? Or like,
oh, true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you can run from it, but also if you face it and over time gradually say, no, I'm going to get better, then I think eventually you hopefully will. I think you can, you know?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely great advice. I sometimes sit in my emotions a little longer than I should, but it's okay because they're valid. You know, sometimes I don't get those extra fries in the bag at McDonald's.
Are you hungry?
I am.
And then I'm stuck, man. I'm like, No bag fries? What do you mean, no bag fries?
No bag fries? Those are the best kind of fries.
The leftovers, when you're already finished with the pack, especially if it's a good batch, dude. McDonald's, you get a good batch. And yeah. I'm not trying to encourage you to get a Big Mac, but
right.
I could also go for a Big Mac after.
The smartest thing that I ever saw was if you go to Red Robin and like you place an online order for pickup, they will give you a small container of fries for the road. Because I know you're gonna, you're gonna dip into that bag and pull out a fry. It's like going to Chipotle and getting the chips. Like you're gonna pull out a chip. But yeah, they actually give you a to go fry.
Road fries.
Road fries.
Oh.
Yeah.
Red Robin.
Yum. Yum. Sponsor us.
Red Robin, looking for a sponsorship. No big deal. You'll see. Fine. And I actually love to eat my Red Robin burger with a polar seltzer for Ooh. Anybody who is wondering.
Sponsor us.
Well, this is fun.
That's awesome.
You know, but kind of going back to the conversation that we had, like one thing that I always say is we are in control of our own happiness. Like we are fortunate to be in a place where like if there's something going wrong, like you have the power to change it or fix it or make tweaks or whatever. Like nothing is holding you to whatever is usually making you upset. And I love the mental power of you're in control of your own happiness.
That's great. Yeah, you're able to observe. And like one thing that I find helpful too, because I get stuck there. Yeah. You have this negative thing. It's like just there. And it's like, it's again, a conscious effort, I think, is the number one thing. Conscious effort. You have to make it a conscious effort. But like also to observe it, it's just a thought. It's your thought. What in your here and now is happening, you know, and it's like you're stuck in that space in your mind, but your body, like, and I've had that happen too. It's like you're gonna miss out on golden moments of your life that are occurring right now because you're stuck on a part of your life that was crap. And that's not like you're gonna grow hopefully from that crap. You have to like
it's a
like,
teachable moment.
You're gonna sit and suffer, and it's gonna suck, and it's not gonna feel better for a while. But I do think mostly. Well, it either happens one or two ways. One, you're forced to get better, right? You need to get better. Or you're stuck. And you're just going to be there for, and it happens to people.
Hey, you know what? Hope that that's not nothing it. Happens if nothing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like to say, too, is greatness does not come from comfort.
No. You know? That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that from a fortune cookie. So it's just a little disclaimer. Oh man.
Hey, that one's a lot better than the one I had the other day. So.
Oh, really? Was that fortune cookie fortune like that was cat.
No, it was a new tie attracts the soup of the day.
Ooh. That's like it's kind of like that other haiku or whatever it is like dress for the job that you want. So hey, office people, I'm coming in as Batman next week. So just FYI. Man. Nikki, you got a question?
Yeah. Do you have any advice for any musicians just starting out?
Just starting out.
Yeah. Or want to pursue music.
Whatever you make. And well, the first thing that comes to my mind is if you're just starting out, if it's in a lyrical way or you're trying to get self-expressive, don't think about what other people are going to think.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to write something, write what you see. A lot of times I think it starts off with like almost a journalistic kind of approach to things. It's like, well, what's this person going to think? What's this person going to think? And it's like, you know, use your brain. I mean, it's like if it's something that you don't, you know, whatever, but generally don't filter yourself. You need to just write honestly. You need to get into it and put it out there. And that's part of it. Like when you put something out, you're putting yourself out there for anybody's interpretation or thought or feeling, which is, it can be scary, especially at first. But it's liberating, too, because then you get to own it. You're like, no, this is, and even if it's not good, if it's like, whatever, like, I'm really sad, or, and try to write, like, if you can, another bit of advice, I think happy songs are harder to come by than sad songs. Sad songs tend to come out a lot easier than happy ones.
I know.
Happy ones.
It's the just, therapeutic element of it.
I think, it's cathartic to express. And again, you're not running. When you're expressing, you're facing. You have to, because you're consciously thinking of it, you know.
That's true.
That's like the first bit, I think, is, and then another thing too is it's like if you're really dedicated to this, especially if you're just picking up an instrument or something, do it for a while. Do it for a few months and every day. Nice. Do it if you can, do it like 15 minutes a day, every day for the first 3 months. And don't give up when you don't make immediate progress, because it's going to take time to to progress at all.
Well, it all circles back to your advice about, you know, taking those steps, making those, and seeing, having that long-term goal in mind, but not realizing that you have to do it all at once. It's going to take time. And yeah, I've been doing the same thing too with the piano. I moved on from, after, what was it? After 10 years, I moved on from Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and moved on to Beethoven's Fifth. So
you're beautiful. I mean, I loved, you were playing a bit before we went on, and it's beautiful, the piano. You play very, very well. I mean, there's a lot of like spirit in what you're
playing.
It sounds very nice, yeah.
It's 100% through osmosis.
Like, what do you mean?
Just like I've been so inspired by our musical guests that and their, you know, creativity, their skills and talents, that it's a little weird. I feel like the last almost 2 years now that we've been recording these episodes, my piano playing has really gotten tremendous.
Broadened your horizon a little bit with that.
Huge. Yeah. You've got huge to make.
It's absolutely huge.
Huge.
It's huge. The best piano playing you've ever heard. It's fantastic. The best.
Just billions of billions of notes. Billions and billions.
More notes than anybody. More notes than anyone.
Nikki, save us.
Okay, yeah, you can.
Time to land the plane, folks.
I've never blown a plane.
Hey, you know what? Whether it's controlled or crashed, it's landed, right?
Oh, man.
It's landed.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So then kind of to piggyback off of, like, you know, new musicians just starting out, and you mentioned that you have kids. Have they shown any desire to, you know, pursue music? I mean, they're younger, I'm assuming.
It's gone in phases, right? Like, so yeah. My daughter, when she was very young, it was just her. There wasn't two, it was just her. So I'd play, and she'd be receptive, and even just last week, she's like, Daddy, you haven't played Colorado in a while. You should play Colorado, you know, one of my songs. And I'm like, okay. So I, you know, get back to playing it, whatever, and the song Get Out of Dodge, and she's like, play Crush You, she'd say. Crush You, Crush You. And then my son, he's getting over it now, but for like 2 months, anytime I picked up my guitar, he'd run over to me. No, you're not going to play. And I'm like, dude, come on. What, come on, man. I got to play. I got to practice. Now he's like into it. He comes up and he'll strum. So
that's cool.
I don't know. Right now, I hope that they do play because I think it's a valuable tool for people to have just to get out and play. It makes you feel good. It can be therapeutic in itself without paying somebody $100 an hour to go talk about it, you know. But like, if they don't, then that's all on them. They show interest, but I think it's because they're around it.
Right.
And what I think is cool is way later on, like their grandmother plays music, their great grandfather plays, I play, like a lot of my friends play.
Yeah.
So they're going to be, but it's going to be normal for them. They're going to go somewhere and they're not going to see a guitar and be like, wait, I thought everybody played guitar. Yeah, I thought everybody sang, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually they'll realize that that's not the way that it is. And hopefully that just normalizes it for them.
Have they like tried to play your guitar at all or like express any
interest? Yeah, they come up and strum. They'll come up and hit the strings and strum it. And they have, I've gotten them a couple of like little instruments and stuff. And they pick them up and play with them. Sometimes my son's like a little rock star though, when he tries to immediately like, wah, right on the ground, man, you know? And
yeah.
But yeah, they've shown interest. They come up and they strum some stuff. It's fun.
Well, wait till you get to the stage where you guys are out camping around a bonfire, and you have at least one acoustic guitar. Maybe you'll have a whole family with guitars. I've been a part of that in our family, and man, those are the most memorable moments in a parent's whole.
I actually know of like some musicians where, because like they grew up, you know, their parents play also, and they were like, yeah. It was just what we did. We had fires in the backyard and, you know, somebody would bring a guitar or a few guitars and they were like, yeah. And this one time I went to my friend's house and they had a fire and then we were like, where's the guitar?
Right.
Like that's how they thought a fire worked, you know? So yeah, I can see where you're coming from there.
Well, this interview has been phenomenal. This is like the second time now where we've already like burned through an hour and I'm like, we're just beginning. but I do want to, as Nikki would say, land the plane. But before we do, do you have another song for us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can do one more time. I'll play another new song that I've just been working on. This is I call it Two-Step. It's fun.
There's no two ways about it. We're two of a kind. Got those too many shoes, blues. The two wrongs don't make a right. And if you can't listen, I'll give you my two cents. Put two and two together, and you'll be two steps ahead. Lesser of two evils, and you'll still end up wrong. And if you have to kill it all, kill two birds with one stone. When you got a problem, two heads will beat one. Life's a two-way street, yeah, you're not the only one. Of a feather with two left feet. Save a table for two, yeah, and we'll go out to eat. Too good to be true, yeah, too bad to believe. If there's too many twos for you, take your coat and leave.
I really am just ecstatic about your music and everything you're doing. You know, I was really taken back by your voice and, you know, how you've crafted it. Just amazing. And I love, you know, hearing all the stories behind the music and the man.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah. So we are nearing the end of the show. But before we let you go, we need to know, I just missed that.
Oh, boy.
I know, right? Yeah. So, no, why don't you let the audience, know if, where they can find you? Maybe, do you have some music out there?
Yeah. Like we've been talking about this for the majority of this podcast. I put the album out, March 29th. It's under my name, Eric Troy, E-R-I-C-T-R-O-Y. And it's available for your listening pleasure on all major streaming platforms.
Nice.
There's currently there's no hard copies. And,
okay.
But yeah, if you look me up on Facebook too, you can find me. We can hang out and be friends. Maybe you can come out and check some tunes out or whatever.
Yeah,
check out. It's available wherever you're going to stream your tunes, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music, Pandora, whatever.
Yeah. We'll make sure to include a link. Just to help you out, but
thank you.
You know, because their music is amazing. But then, you know, this episode will drop in December. But we'll see you again before that.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this songwriter contest?
Oh, this one's it's just the showcase.
Yeah. Oh, showcase,
so
right?
It's a showcase, but I am stoked for it. Yeah. Workshop 13 is a. I would recommend anybody who's into in Central Mass to go check out Workshop 13 as an organization. It's a great stage, great people, great for the arts and creativity of all sorts, but especially for, you know, music. They're, of course, I'm partial to music, right? But like they're really good. Check that out.
I know it's we're going to go down there. You guys will probably have already seen the content of that, if not soon enough. But so it's our first time that we'll be there. So we're looking forward to it. Yeah. And it'll be exciting.
I can't wait to see you guys there, too. That was such a treat. I'm just like, oh, I get to go hang out with them on the podcast and then see them.
Yeah.
At Workshop 13. It's just going to be rad. Yeah. It's going to be very fun.
I might not be as mobile because I'll have probably one or two turkeys inside of me. but them's the drumsticks.
All right, I'll just roll you in. That's fine.
Can I have another cookie? No, diabeto. And I'll roll back to the kitchen. But again, no, seriously, thank you. You know, for coming out and doing this with and just sharing your music and your stories. Like, I'm really excited to see, you know, where your musical journey takes you. And, thank you. And
well, I'm glad it's taken me here. This has been a great spot. Really, it's been fun. I like having my TV infomercial voice or, like, Sid, you know. It's like, well, it's been a wonderful time being here with you guys. I really enjoy it. Look forward to the next time.
Tell them what they want. You know?
Oh, that's good.
Tell them what they want, Eric. You've won a new... You didn't win anything except for maybe some new tunes to listen to. You won that for sure. You know,
you're the next contestant on The Price is Wrong.
That was really good, man.
This has been so much fun. Like, seriously, wouldn't you agree, Nikki?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you submitted an application to come on here months ago, and you know, we're still booked out. Like, we're booked out now till April, so I haven't been able to reach out to anybody. And then by chance, you know, we ran into you at front of the show, Jay Goldstein's album release. And I was like, I didn't forget about you.
No, it was really fun. It was a great time meeting you. And I really liked, that's another one to like check out Jake Goldstein's album. Jake's everywhere.
Know,
and
right.
Yeah. It just, the way that it worked out, like we had a cancellation and I was like, no, like I literally just talked to you. Like, let's get you on. So I'm glad we did. I'm glad we made it happen.
I'm thankful that you thought of me and I'm really glad to have spent some time and hung out and got to know you guys and play some songs and stuff. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about what we do here at the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts is if you are a musician and you come on our show, you enter the room as our guest, but you leave as a friend.
Oh.
Aww.
So we're friends now?
Yes.
Now we're friends now. We're all friends.
We're BFFs.
Woo!
Woo!
So I'm coming over for Thanksgiving.
I mean, you can, but those two turkeys are mine.
Those two are mine. Bring your own bird, dude.
Bring your own bird.
Yeah, BYOB.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Anyways, guys, thank you again for tuning in on this just hilarious episode of Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. We make sure that you're following us, and for all the views we've been getting, we're really just so ever thankful for everything that you guys are doing to show your support to us, because again, it's not just for us, it's for our musicians.
Are you having a stroke?
Maybe. It's for our musicians. Thank you, Chris. It's, you know, it's really, it means a lot to them. It's the world to them, because that's their music and it's just getting to your ears. That's the most important part. So guys, thank you so much. And Nikki, why don't you tell the audience what they want? I mean, where to find us?
We are in all the places for your listening pleasure. We are on Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok as well.
Jeez, we're just everywhere.
We are everywhere.
Yeah. So, but guys, again, thank you so much. I just appreciate our guests here, Eric Troy. I appreciate you, Nikki. You're not Eric Troy. You're Nikki. Just in case you didn't know.
I appreciate you, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you. And guys, that's been another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. We out. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering, and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.